Hi there, folks. This is episode 57 of the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. We got a great guest and a patient one, I might add. We got Thomas Nelson join us. Thomas is a really experienced agent. I'm going to let him introduce himself, and then we're going to be talking about Referral Maker. Off you go, Thomas. Introduce yourself.
Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate you having me on your podcast, and I want to just introduce myself. I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in sunny San Diego, America's finest city. And, well, I put people in the largest amount of debts of their lives, but they thank me for it. And how I do that is with residential real estate buyers, sellers, and investors. And I also do a lot of networking with agents across the country through my blog site, Active Rain, and, of course, my coaching company, Buffini & Company.
That's great. So let's start off talking about Referral Maker. It's not a CRM that I have a lot of knowledge of, but you kind of put me onto it. And what are some of the key features that you really like about it?
Well, what I like about it most is it's very engaging for me. I've tried some of the other CRMs, so I did give it a fair comparison to things like Goldmine and Top Producer and the like. But as I'm looking at it here on my other screen, what I love about it is at a glance, I can't fool myself. I almost consider it like balancing your checkbook, you know, because I can see all my goals right in front of me for the day, for the week. I can see my appointments, my to-do list. I can see what I've accomplished, what I haven't. And I can also see at a glance in a pie chart, my total database is made up of people in priority. So A plus, A, B, C. I not only can see how many A pluses I have percentage wise, but then I can also see based on my lead generation where I'm spending my time. So in other words, like this week, I'm seeing a 21% time spent with my A pluses, 10% with A's, and a 40% with B's. Now, normally that'd be a little out of whack, but I'm currently working on getting some A's to graduate, or some B's to graduate to A's. So I've been spending a lot of time reaching out to them. But this allows me to realize, hey, if I'm having an off month, I can go back here at a glance and see, well, how am I spending my time? Am I hitting my daily goals? Am I hitting my weekly goals? We call it winning the day and winning the week. And where am I spending the bulk of my time? And then it's kind of undeniable. Not getting the results I want, the evidence is usually right there in the CRM.
Oh, that's great. So what is your process? So how do you utilize the data in which the CRM is giving you, Referral Maker, to the external world? What it shows you into the interface to control what you're doing on a week-to-week basis then, Thomas?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the features on here is the marketing. So interface-wise, I send out an item of value, usually a high-quality mailer once a month that comes out of the CRM. I have the ability to do custom emails out of the CRM, and I also send out a monthly e-report. So 2 to 3 points of contact a month come out of this from just a practical sense of marketing. The other thing I can do is at a glance, look at my business. So I can see here how many contacts it takes to get a referral, how many referrals it takes to convert to a closing. And if my numbers are off, my ratios are off, I can see where I need work. I can also see, again, speaking earlier on the demographic of my database, if I'm spending too much time with C's and not enough time with A's, how to adjust my calls for the day or who I'm going to call to ask out to lunch or to coffee. So kind of in a nutshell, that's it. And plus, I have my calendar on here. So I'm always in my face is my appointments, so I don't miss anything, and my to-do list. So some of those lower priority things, but they need to get done, but they're not the first thing I'm going to do in a day. So it helps me organize my day, quite frankly.
Yeah, it really sounds that you're really bought into it big ways, which is great in a way. I think whatever bit of technology you're using, having some commitment to it is important. So how big is your, you don't mind me asking, how big is your overall database?
Sure. Well, I can go in and tell you it's over 1,000. But to qualify that, I'm really marketing to the top 200 because that's really where the majority of my A pluses through Bs are. As you get past 200, there's Cs and Ds. Now, the Ds are in there. Those are kind of do not spend money on marketing. That's what D stands for me. I'll give you an example of that. I get a lot of business from other realtors through blogging and through my coaching at Buffini & Company. They don't necessarily need to receive my monthly mailers and e-reports. They're sending out the same things. But I want them in my database because they need to make up my they need to be part of my calls and maybe send in a personal note once in a while to thank them or just to remind them, hey, you know, and occasionally I'll even use it to put in someone like, for example, I have a great electrician, but he's married to a realtor. So I want him in my database because, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to have a reciprocal relationship with him, but he's going to treat my clients right. So I'm not going to market to him, but I'm still going to have him in my database so my clients can utilize him.
Yeah, it's so interesting because there's so many ways this conversation could go, because I think some of the fundamental principles you are applying, which is great to hear, because obviously you realise it's actually a scientific fact, Thomas. I'll send you the link. I've actually got it on the MailRight website, that there was a British researcher who researched into the tribal starting of relationships. And fundamentally, we only have about 150 people that will really refer a quality lead to us. That 150 changes from month to month. That's from true. Every 6 months, you know, people leave area, new people come into that sphere of 150. But it's really 150 people that will really have a strong enough relationship for us. And it sounds like that the key element is your business is really based on referral. So am I correct that you don't do a lot of buying of leads, like on Zillow and the other portals?
I don't buy any leads. I've been down that road in my early days. And no, in fact, I think an agent that relies predominantly on buying leads is not in control of their own business. So for me, like I'm looking right now at my, I can see in my whole business at a glance, I'm currently 88% by referral, which means the balance of that is made up of Yelp reviews and signed calls from listings. But 88% of my business currently on the books is referred to me by a past client, or it's repeat business, or another realtor sending me business.
Yeah, so one of the things I've noticed, which doesn't apply to you, Thomas, is a lot of agents are not very good in keeping in contact with this referral base, which right. is a bit surprising, really, because, you know, the Red Book, which is the kind of Bible of the real estate industry, it's like 101 of real estate, and I think he talks about 64 touches, doesn't he? It is the kind of Bible, and it's kind of hammered into a rookie agent, you know, database, relationship building, phone calls, keep, you know. But so many agents, have you got any reflections why so many agents and that don't have a database and don't really build up a referral network?
You know, I think it's the wiring of the average agent. First of all, I mean, there's a lot of free spirits, and they get into the business because they don't want the boundaries or the accountability that comes with maybe working for a boss. I also think a lot of agents come from W-2 type jobs, and they're not used to running a business, so they don't understand. You know, my saying is this: if I close a deal, and I only close a deal, I'm going to pay some bills. But if I close a deal with an advocate, I'm building a career. And that's what I'm doing. I'm in it for the long haul. So I think a lot of agents, they get overwhelmed, and they're chasing what is possible or what is active for them. And they forget about, and I'm guilty of this too. I mean, that's why I'm coached by Buffini & Company. to have those gentle reminders and sometimes a swift kick in the pants on staying on top of this. Because if I could do this on my own, I wouldn't be coached. That's one of the reasons I'm coached, because my coach can see everything that's going on in my CRM. So I have to be honest with her, or, you know, and I have to be honest with myself, or I'm never going to build a career.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about the coaching side in the second half.
But, sure.
So my position is a little bit different to yours. I think long term, I totally agree with you. But I also feel that paid advertisement and paying, especially if you're starting in the first 2 years, does have a place. But I totally agree on you that relying on just buying leads is not a long-term strategy that I would recommend for the majority of agents. But I do think it has its place in certain circumstances. So what do you feel are some of the key things that you do that kind of builds these relationships? Is it the one-to-ones, or is it a mixture of keeping yourself in front of them and then reinforcing that with a one-to-one?
Sure. Well, I mean, we call it contact, care, and community. So what we're doing is, first of all, I have to shine as their agent. I have to exceed their expectations and give them a good experience when they're closing their escrow, whether they're buying, selling, or investing. Then afterwards, I need to stay in touch with them. So that's gentle reminders throughout the month. So they'll get something in the mail. They'll get something in email. I'll do a lot of video emails so that people can get the personality through the email. We do client events. So, I do a client appreciation party every year right before Thanksgiving. And everyone that comes gets a free locally baked pie. Fun things like that. I do occasionally small group things. So, like, I just took not too long ago a group of my clients out to play golf at Torrey Pines. And that gave them a day on the links. We'll do little dinners. I've had clients over to my house and then had a professional chef come in. So it's showing them that they're more than just a transaction, that they're a relationship. And I want to qualify this by saying not everyone is going to be a candidate for that. There are some people that, hey, you did a great job. Thanks a lot. See you later. But those that are inclined to engage that way, I'm creating a scenario that makes it easy for them to have a reciprocal relationship with me, and also know that they can call me 6 months from now, 2 years from now, and ask me for a painter or a lawyer or a financial advisor, and I'm going to take their call and answer their question. And on the flip side, I can go knock on their door 3 years from now, and they're happy to see me.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you get a lot of referrals from other agents. Has Active Rain been a major part of building up that agent referral network?
It's played into it. I have received business from Active Rain. I get much more of my business from Buffini and Company's network, but Active Rain is something that, if I'm being fair to Active Rain, I really, I've been a member since about 2008, but I really didn't dive into hardcore blogging and participating in the Q&As and the meetups that they do probably only about two and a half years ago when I got really serious. So I don't think I've given it enough time to build the way, Buffini and Company I've been with for almost 17 years. So there's a big difference in time invested and effort.
Well, that's great. Well, we're going to go to our breaks, folks, and then when we come back, we're going to delve some more into this fascinating conversation with Thomas, and we'll be back in a minute.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad, and you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back. And we're going to learn some more about Thomas's experience, which is quite extensive. And I think we're going to go on now and talk about Buffini and what you get from that. So When did you start getting active mentorship and training? When did you decide? How soon in your career? Because, you know, you, in your introduction, you come from a family, third generation. So, right. You know, I'm interested in the dynamics that made you, even though you come from a very experienced background, that you still decided that you needed mentorship and formal support and training. What led you to that decision?
I used to own another company. I worked in the wedding industry as a mobile DJ and an MC, and I wanted to build that business up. And I read Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited. And at the end of that book, there was an opportunity to take him up on some coaching, and I did it. And so I actually coached with the Michael Gerber E-Myth Academy for a whole year in about 1995 or 6 era. And that's what actually set the tone for me to be open-minded and receptive to coaching. So now fast forward, I got my license in April of 99. October of 99, this little Irishman comes around to South San Francisco. I'm up in the Bay Area at this point. I hadn't moved to San Diego. And I go to a half-day event, and I just got blown away. Nobody has ever trained me or talked to me or entertained me the way Brian Buffini did. And I was just hooked. I couldn't afford the coaching right away because I was a brand new agent. But what I would do is I would go to all the events that I could pay my way to get in, and I would learn everything I could from him. And then eventually in 2002 is when I started coaching with him, and essentially have been coached in one way, shape, or form, either one-on-one, group, or self-paced ever since. And I'm basically use that for accountability, for growth, for systems, and for technology.
Yeah. So am I correct? Are you part of their coaching organization? You actually do some coaching for them as well. Is that correct?
I would aspire to do that, but no. And I should probably clarify that, you know, because I probably sound like a paid consultant.
No, I just wondered because of your experience.
I appreciate that. No, I am strictly, you know, I'm not paid by them. I'm not employed by them. This whole thing came about because I'm just a fan of them and I want to give back. I try to promote them a lot. I try to refer other agents in because I feel like I'm doing good for both. You know, I like to help Buffini and Company where I can with referrals, but I feel like when I'm referring agents in to try it out, that I'm doing them a favor to expose them to this wonderful system that can really just take their business to the next level. And, you know, I would love to see more agents doing well in this industry so that the industry does better and has a better reputation.
Well, I think that's a fantastic attitude and very professional attitude, Thomas. So I will have to, maybe with your help, do some outreach and try and get one of their senior trainers on the show.
Oh, that
would be great. You know, you've been in part of their organization for quite a while. So let's take the last 3 years.
Okay.
What benefits do you think you've really obtained from their coaching over the past 3 years to kind of boost your business, you know, to, you know, a production level which you aspire to?
Sure. You know, and it's probably not going to sound sexy because it's the basic principles. First of all, it's consistency. When I go to work, I go to work, and I go to work every day. I don't hit work randomly. I have a plan, and that plan came from being coached, and the Referral Maker CRM is part of that plan. And so, I feel like I'm falling behind if I'm not at work. And when I say every day, I go to work Monday through Friday, and I pretty much show property all day Saturday, and I take Sundays off. Believe it or not, I haven't worked a Sunday in 10 years. And that's another thing that it's given me is boundaries. We have a phrase called down tools. You know, every night by 7 o'clock, I'm done. Unless I'm actually still out with a client, you're not going to reach me till the next day. It's family time. So they've given me back a personal life and a family life. And things outside of real estate. And you know what? The business functions. They've given me vacations. I go away. I went to Ireland, for example, for 10 days. My assistant ran my business with the help of my buyer's agent and my transaction coordinator. I didn't check in once. I didn't even have an international phone. So 10 days later, I come back, and with two 30-minute meetings, I'm back on track. And, you know, isn't it sad to find out our businesses run well without us?
You know, well, it's actually a great sign that the business is running right, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
It shows that you've got systems and procedures, doesn't it? So that consistency. So let's say you had an agent, it's their second, they're entering their third year. Okay. So they got over, it looks like they're going to survive, they've built up some book of business, and they come to you and they say, Thomas, what can I do to move this forward? What would you say to that agent, Thomas?
Well, you know, I would really look at what their goals are before I could just advise them. But, you know, I would say outside of that, I would definitely want them to start on the CRM because, you know, the CRM is kind of a digital embodiment of all the coaching and all the training that we've had in one central location. So it really kind of summarizes all the training. And then once they get through that, the other thing I would get involved in is going to some of the events. They have a MarTech event, which keeps us up on technology. They have Success Tour, which gives us practical systems and, you know, everything from budgeting to running teams to setting goals, both personal and business. And then we have our Mastermind event, which is coming up next week, an annual event I never miss. And we have Peak Experience, which is just a turbocharged training. So there's things that they can kind of check out without going all in right away. And then and that's how I did it. I eased myself in and did as much as I could until I could afford to do it consistently because it's not a quick fix. As Brian Buffini always says, it's not a microwave, it's a crock pot. It's a slow cook. You're gonna get better results and in the long haul, build a better career.
So, if you don't mind me asking, what was your production last year?
My production last year, I could tell you. I believe I did 24 closed deals, and it was just under $6 million.
Wow, that's and what kind of you got a full time assistant? Do you?
I have a part time assistant and I have a transaction coordinator.
Well, that's quite a you're rocking, aren't you? That's quite a few transactions for that kind of setup, really. So you need to be pretty organized, don't you? Because it could soon descend into mayhem, couldn't it?
Yes, I would say not only organized, but you can't micromanage. You hire people that do, and put it this way: I hire all my weaknesses. My transaction coordinator is brilliant with details and paperwork, and I can't stand it, but she's brilliant and keeps me on track. My assistant's there to do all the $15 an hour work so I can go out and do the $150 an hour work. And that's really allowing me to stay focused. And, you know, also having staff kind of makes you stay organized and on track because they're watching you and they're also depending on you. So if you're not out producing and keeping them busy, you have an audience, you know, and you have people that are depending on you. So, you know, and my coach as well, my coach knows what's going on. So, but, you know, the more responsibility and the more accountability I put on myself, the better my business does. And I need that kind of push. So it helps me stay organized, but it also helps me stay motivated.
I'd like to also touch on this. There's a consistent kind of strange, let's quantify this, Jonathan. The relationship between agent and broker, the ongoing debate. Have you got any reflections about that, about what is a healthy relationship? And have you observed some things that you feel weren't that healthy?
Sure. When I started in the Bay Area, and my first Well, I didn't really have much contact with my broker, but my office manager was a great leader and an open door. So he gave me a great first experience. I moved to San Diego, and I was with Coble Banker for 12 years. And again, you know, with a large company like that, you're dealing with your office manager or your, you know, the broker of, that's managing the local team. And she was actually my coach, too, for a while, in addition to Buffini. I did her coaching process and then actually came full circle and brought some Buffini into that Coble Banker office. So what I liked about what she did is she embraced the training and bringing in people and creating a mastermind group. We did this thing called Peak Producers. So she was really open-minded and engaging, but she was also someone that would keep you on track. And then my current broker, I'm with Big Block Realty now, and God, I love them because they're so entrepreneurial. It's three gentlemen that started this company. It's a local company, so the money's generated here and stays here locally in San Diego, and they're just they're dynamic. So I guess what I'm trying to say is choose your broker well. They need to match your personality, your goals, and your expectations.
I think that's great because I think what you're saying there is, by the sounds of it, they're a bit of a boutique brokerage, and it's interesting, you know, how this is going to pan out. Are there going to be more boutique brokerage setups, and are the big franchise going to reduce? It's really quite fascinating because it seems to oscillate a lot, doesn't it, Thomas?
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, coming from, I've done both. In the Bay Area, I was with a five office entrepreneurial family, came down to the big brokerage, Coble Banker, then went back to an entrepreneurial. Now, they are a boutique, but a boutique with 500 agents. So they're a pretty large company as boutiques go. But I got away from Coble Banker because I just kind of felt I outgrew them, but I couldn't say anything bad about them because they, for the time I spent with them, and obviously I spent 12 years there, I learned a lot and I got a lot of training and a lot of support, and I met a lot of great agents there who are still friends of mine and people I network with.
No, I think that's a very common statement. I think because you move on, you know, if you just stayed as you were, there was no personal growth and you kept as the same person, or that would be a bit worrying, wouldn't it? You know, there's different stages of your career, whatever, where the previous setup is no longer totally suitable, is it?
Correct. I mean, you have to grow, and there's that temptation to stay in your comfort zone, but unfortunately success happens outside your comfort zone most of the time. So, and I'm just one of those people that I recognize that change has to be a part of my business plan, not for the sake of change, but for the sake of growth. And, you know, that's not every agent though. There's a lot of agents that are going to be lifers at their company of choice, and that's fine for them. There's no judgment on that. It's, you got to know how you're wired and what your goals are, and match that up with the broker. And if that's a brick and mortar, one of the big ones, more power to you. And if you prefer to go out on your own and run your own show or go with a smaller boutique, I think that's the great thing about our market is that you have choices.
I think you're right there. Over the past couple of years, on reflection, what are some of the biggest changes that you've observed or think that might be coming that, you know, you like to share with the audience?
Sure. Well, I've been invited in on some beta tests. So there's a transparency platform by a company called House. They just launched last week. It was all over the news. Inman and a few others picked it up. So I'm seeing things like that with technology that's going to affect a certain percentage of our market. Technology in general. I'm a fan of technology. I think it's improved our business. I've been in our business pre-technology when we had MLS books and post, and I think it's definitely overall made it easier. You know, I think the consumer is a lot more in the know, but they're, you know, they're drowning in information and starving for wisdom. So our role hasn't changed. You know, I think we just need to embrace the technology and understand that the consumer is not, we're not the gatekeepers of information anymore for them, but we're going to help them navigate through it. And I think also that the fact that there's a change in what we were just talking about, the different types of brokerages that are out there, it's going to change the expectations of the consumer because some of the more traditional brokerages don't have the ability to compete with the ones that don't have splits, for example. You know, when you've got a 20-30% split, you can only work with your commission so much, and then it doesn't make sense to take the deal, whereas somebody that's running their own brokerage or in a 0% agency can make that decision and be a little more strategic. I'm not a big fan of commission cutting, by the way, but you know, sometimes you have to make some sort of rebate or concession.
You got to have some flexibility, but I think depends on your business model. But I don't heavy discounting isn't the normally the road to great success. Something has to give, because. But on the other hand, you have to be realistic and be flexible, haven't you? So, yes. Thomas, we're coming to the end of the recording, folks. Probably Thomas could keep on for 5 to 10 minutes, which we're going to record on for the video, which is on the website on the YouTube channel. But the actual audio recording, we're probably coming to the end, folks. Please go to iTunes and do subscribe to the show. And if you feel that we're covering some really interesting stuff, please leave a review, folks. I love reading the reviews, and it does really help the show. And Thomas, thank you for being such an excellent guest. He came on short notice, and he's been he filled in a lot online for. We had to do that twice, and we had some technical trouble with this, but he's been very patient, and he's been an excellent guest. Thank you, Thomas.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye.